there, and welcome to North Shore Sports Night on a Monday night. I'm Rick Moore, along with Tim Kearns. Our producer and engineer is Bill Proposky. And this presentation of MSONewsSports.com is brought to you by Sylvan Street Grill. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill. Honeydew Donuts, the only way to go. Enjoy the local flavor. Moynihan Lumber of North Beverly, North Reading, and Plastown, New Hampshire. Moore GMC of Danvers, serving the North Shore since 1969. 84 High Street. See General Manager Jeff Clickstein. Harrington Trophy, rewarding the North Shore for over 25 years at 557 Chestnut Street in Lynn. Attorney Robert J. Madruga, see Bob for all your estate planning and tax preparation. Gloria Food Store, consistently Beverly's number one deli. The Lynn Museum, 590 Washington Street in Lynn. Columbia Insurance of Lynn, offering auto, home, condo, renters, and business insurance for complete peace of mind. The Porthole Restaurant, try their award-winning clam chowder. Lynn Auditorium, one of the premier entertainment venues in the state. And the Daily Item of Lynn and itemlive.com, serving the North Shore since 1877. Well, the Daily Item has, anyway. itemlive.com, probably a little bit shorter time. Okay, well, welcome to North Shore Sports Night. We are back after a couple of weeks off and had the holiday last week and had some other things to attend to the week before, but we are back and back with a couple of interviews tonight. We hope that this thing works successfully, having a little bit of a technical problem here and there from time to time, but that's the nature of the business, I guess. Tonight we will have Danvers football coach Sean Terrio on board, and Coach Terrio, of course, leading the Falcons to a 14-7 win in our broadcast game on Friday night at home, and I put home in quotes, at Bishop Fenwick against Beverly. And that was obviously a big, big win for Danvers. And then we'll also hope to talk to Winthrop football coach Sean Driscoll. You know, they had some tough times. They had to forfeit a game a week or so ago, but they came back and came back against Saugus this weekend and beat the Sachems by a score of 40-12. So Winthrop rebounding nicely. And then we hope to talk with a sports writer or two from the Salem News tonight, get caught up with that stuff. We were hoping to talk also with the Gloucester Times sports editor Nick Kukru, but Nick is home with his lovely bride Marissa. They are presently tending to the arrival of their second child. Very happy arrival last week, a boy this time, and so Nick won't be available for a while at least, and we wish the Kukurus all the best and congratulations to great people and two beautiful children now. Okay, so that's the lineup. We'll take a look at the scores from the weekend, the football scores. I'd like to remind you that if you have a score you'd like to pass along, if you're a coach, all you have to do is email us at msonewsports@gmail.com, msonewsports@gmail.com. And our coach's hotline is 978-325-3638. You can leave the information of your game and maybe just a quick overview of what went on. Leave it there and we'll get it posted right away. So a lot going on. We'll check in with Coach Terrio in just a few minutes, go over the scores as well. Again, you're listening to North Shore Sports Night on MSONewsSports.com. I'm Rick Moore. Not sure if Tim's going to be with us tonight, but we're hoping so. So stay with us.
This is MSO Web Radio at MoreStuffOnline.com.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. One of the ways to judge a company is in its staying power. At Moynihan Lumber, we've been doing our thing now for 55 years. Serving all of Greater Boston, Moynihan Lumber offers lumber and building materials, doors and windows, decking, kitchen cabinets, and Ace Hardware. Visit Moynihan Lumber at any of our three locations, in North Reading, Beverly, or Plastown, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Hi, this is Jeff Clickstein, General Manager at Moore GMC in Danvers. Did you know that we're a family-owned and operated dealer that's been serving the North Shore since 1969? When you come to see us, you're treated like part of our family. GMC has a great lineup with Sierra pickups, the ever-popular Acadia, and the redesigned 2016 Terrain. We are the dealer that will provide you with the best buying experience possible. We are conveniently located off Route 128 at Exit 23, 80 High Street in Danvers. I personally invite all of you to come in, come visit us, see why our customers keep coming back for all their automotive needs.
People come in, take a seat, you're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. Treat you right, day or night, satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at
the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Sylvan Street Grill has a great new game time menu featuring delicious new dishes, specials, and all-time favorites, too.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Bradford Tavern, the Rowley destination restaurant, featuring many modern touches, nestled in a rustic setting, offering the finest steaks, seafood, and many quality daily specials. The Bradford Tavern is open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. to midnight, serving lunch and dinner. See you soon at the Bradford Tavern in Rowley, 89 Haverhill Street, Route 133. And check us out at bradfordtavern.com.
Hello, sports fans. This is Wally, the voice of Honeydew Donuts. All right, you're getting ready to go to a game. I don't care if it's morning, afternoon, or night. Don't forget, stop into Honeydew Donuts and get yourself a cup of coffee. How about that large iced coffee? That Mocha Madness one is unbelievable. You'll think you went to Honeydew Heaven. So remember, you heard it here first on MSONewsSports.com. And remember the name. It's Honeydew Donuts, the only way to go.
Okay, we're working on it. I'm going to have to take a little break here, maybe a little musical interlude as we check in with Coach Terrio again. Danvers Falcons winning 14-7 over Beverly. Big, big game on Friday night, and that means the Panthers now are 2-2 in the conference. Marblehead is leading the league, of course, at 4-0 with Danvers at 3-1. So as you can see here, Kearns is arriving. We'll take a quick break and come back with our first interview on North Shore Sports Night on this Monday night.
Harrington's Trophy and Awards has been rewarding the North Shore for over 25 years. Hi, I'm Kevin Harrington.
And I am Marty Harrington, and we are known for our local family business, providing custom trophies, plaques, screen printing, embroidery, and much more. We offer a variety of services such as engraving wedding gifts, medals for charity walks, youth sports trophies, and uniforms. From the newest style performance wear to your everyday work shirts, we are your one-stop shop. Whether it's a fantasy football, warm-up suits for your team, end-of-the-year banquet gifts, or recognizing excellence, we pride our business on our exceptional customer service and quality products. Located in Lynn, or visit our website at harringtontrophy.com.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. One of the ways to judge a company is in its staying power. At Moynihan Lumber, we've been doing our thing now for 55 years. Serving all of Greater Boston, Moynihan Lumber offers lumber and building materials, doors and windows, decking, kitchen cabinets, and Ace Hardware. Visit Moynihan Lumber at any of our three locations, in North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Gloria Food Store is still Beverly's number one deli, and no matter what New England weather is thrown at us, Gloria is open. With fresh bread delivered from Sunray Bakery every morning, Gloria can provide party platters, calzones, hot trays, cold trays, salad trays, and finger sandwiches for whatever you have planned. Call in your order at 978-922-3613, stop in at 268 Rantoul Street, or visit GloriaFoodStore.com.
Okay, we're back, and we are joined now by Danvers football coach Sean Terrio. And Coach, welcome back, and as Tim said before we went on the air here, congratulations on a tremendous win over Beverly.
Yeah, thanks. It was a great game.
It was a great game. It was well attended. It was a perfect night for football. No wind at all. A little nerve-wracking, I think, for both teams in that first half. And it sort of looked like one of the proverbial heavyweight matches where each of you guys were filling each other out in that first quarter, and then you traded touchdowns. But, Sean, I want to know what you think the highlight was in that first half. But certainly that goal line stand at the end when Beverly had first and four, that had to play huge going into the second half.
Yeah, well, you know, when you look at it at the end of the game, that certainly played huge. You know, I think it certainly, didn't give them the advantage as far as the momentum going into the half. And, that definitely was a big play.
Coach, we got to talk about, obviously we got to get to Matt Andreas, but the play of your offensive line, every time you needed 6, 7, 8 yards, whatever it might have been for first down, They just opened up a highway for Matt to walk through.
Yeah. I mean, that's a great group of kids. They're tough kids. They're smart. They're athletic. You know, and they really take pride in what they, you know, they're a very tight group, and you know, they certainly did a great job in that game.
Tell me a little bit about, give me a couple of highlights or a couple of kids that you want to brag about on that offensive line. Because as I said, I thought they were just tremendous all night long. And, you know, whenever you needed the yardage, you got it. But, and great pass protection on that touchdown pass. So pick out one or two of those kids on the front line, will you please, Sean?
Yeah, well, you know, if Isaiah Clark is the right tackle and Marco Lagambiner is the right guard, those two really are kind of the centerpieces of the offensive line. And, you know, they practice as hard as they play, and, you know, they're smart kids, and they certainly dominate, you know, the guys in front of them most of the time.
Okay, now your defense, you completely shut down Beverly. I think I had Beverly for like 41 yards in that second half. So were there any adjustments you made, or just stick with the game plan in the second half and the kids executed?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think the kids knew going into the half. They were a little unsure, you know, exactly what to expect. And I think by halftime they started to feel a little more comfortable. We kind of changed fronts a little bit at the half, you know, just to kind of, they're hitting the edge on us a little bit more than we wanted, so we kind of had to widen some things out. But other than that, the kids just continued to play hard.
You know, I know the kids got a little bit frustrated there on the fumbles in the first half, but it didn't really cause any damage, and you got out of that and had great ball security in the second half. It was just a great football game. What do you pick out as a couple of highlights, Coach?
Yeah, you know, I mean, the turnovers certainly is something that we still need to address. You know, it's kind of plagued us a little bit more this year than it had last year. You know, but the kids, you know, they don't. What I like about this group in particular is that, you know, the adversity doesn't affect them, and you know, they never quit until the end of the whistle. And it certainly is one of those things that, you know, you really can't coach that. It's just sort of like that, what that group has taken upon themselves.
Well, set up the winning touchdown for me from Andreas to Mike Nestor, because your quarterback was running, playing the option so well all night long, and then he just fired that bullet to Nestor going across from right to left.
Yeah, you know, that's sort of like a run-heavy set. I think that is probably, in the 2 years we've been running that set, maybe the second pass was thrown out of it. I think at that point we knew that we had to do something to, you know, change if they were really geared up for the run. And you know, we had to try to, you know, throw something to make a big play.
All right, let's shift gears now. You guys are in great position for the playoffs at the moment. You know, at 3-1 in the league, 5-1 overall. Your defense is just outstanding, of course. Marblehead, you know, the front runners. But let's not overlook the game coming up on Friday night. What do you see out of Peabody?
Well, they have probably one of the best players in the state. You know, probably the best running backs, not one of the best running backs in the state. Or even, you know, New England, I haven't seen everyone, but one of the better running backs that I've seen. And, you know, he's elusive, he's explosive. You know, their offensive line has improved throughout the year, and, you know, he's a tough guy to stop. So, you know, it all starts around Doug Santos, and if we can stop him, we have a chance to win that game.
You know, certainly, Coach, stopping Santos is easier said than done for most teams this year, unless you put him in a straitjacket and tie his ankles together. It's a pretty difficult job for most teams on most Friday nights or Saturday afternoons. Do you more or less, though, plan to take away other aspects of Peabody, something like a Belichick plan where, okay, they got this one guy, we know we're going to get yards, and we can limit those, but we take away everything else that they can do, that job becomes that much easier, do you try to mix and match it?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think, you know, he's not the only player on the field, and you certainly have to be sound against everything else. And you can't just, you know, completely key on him, but I think, you know, the defensively-wise, we just need to know our leverage and, you know, understand that he's not going to come down with one tackle. And, you know, we do have some other players on the field, and as long as we play discipline, you know, we'll be able to take away that stuff as well.
You know, certainly you talk about your turnovers, but your team has been able to overcome those. They have to play right now with such a high degree of confidence, and Phil Stacey mentioned, you know, that this win against Beverly being a statement game. In your progression as head coach, where do you put this game in terms of meaning for the team as you continue to develop the team going down the road?
Yeah, well, you know, I think going into the year, the team knew we were going to be pretty good. And we haven't, you know, we had beat Linfield, but up until that point, we had not really played anyone in our division of that caliber. And I think that's just kind of proof to the kids that, you know, all the hard work we've put in has paid off and that they really are as good as we thought we were. And, you know, especially Beverly with such a rivalry game and, you know, just the pride that you get from winning that game is huge.
You know, certainly walking into the postseason, having these kind of wins, the signature wins, as people will call them, certainly, again, boost the kids' beliefs that, you know, they can take on a team like Beverly, or no matter who the school is, no matter what their name is, no matter what their past history is, you guys are coming to believe that you can play with each and every one of them.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and I think, you know, if you look across, you know, our section, you know, we can play, you know, with anyone, and anyone can play with us. And, you know, it's a very competitive division and section, and our league in particular, you know, being in the North with predominantly all the bigger schools, you know, I think we're sort of coming into the postseason a little bit more battle-tested if maybe we were in a different league or division. So, you know, I think the kids are feeling pretty confident.
Sean, I'm sorry, Coach. Go ahead.
Okay. Coach, X's and O's are fine. My focus is always the background stuff. What's the one thing that you have brought to this program that has enabled it to turn around and get on the direction that it's been following the last couple of years?
Yeah, well, you know, I think that when I came in, we certainly made a commitment to off-season preparation as far as, like, workouts and conditioning and seven-on-sevens. You know, I think the program was already headed in the right direction, you know, and I just kind of carried the torch over and just continued sort of the upward trend of what was going on in Danvers.
Final question for me, Coach. What's the history between Danvers and Peabody? Is there a rivalry there now? I mean, Peabody and the GBL for so long, but they're your next-door neighbor, and obviously this game is huge coming up for playoff seeds. But is there a history between the two schools in terms of football?
Oh, certainly. You know, I mean, they're very close geographically, you know, and, you know, it's just one of those, just like most of the other teams in our league, there's always just that sort of rivalry feel when it comes to any area that's that close to you. And, you know, for me in particular, only being here 2 years, you know, last year we came into the game thinking we had a pretty good chance, and they kind of stuck it to us a little bit, and, you know, just thinking of last year, it certainly would be nice to get some revenge.
Okay. All right, Coach, we'll be there on Friday night. Looking forward to it, and congratulations and good luck this week.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thanks, Sean. Coach.
Sean Terrio, the football coach at Danvers High School, and, yeah, big win. It was a 14-7 game, but the Panthers held to 41 yards in that second half.
Usually they have that after the first two or three plays.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I read that stat on the website, and I was totally dumbfounded that, you know, I mean, Davis obviously brought the defense. They watched film very well. They picked on keys. They closed off holes. They tackled securely. And those are the things you do that'll take a team out of its rhythm.
All right. We'll take a break, come back, and give you a chance to breathe. We have to talk with Sean Driscoll. We're going to catch up with Coach Driscoll after the all the stuff they've been through. Big win for Winthrop over the weekend. Then we hope to be checking in with the Salem News sports writers. That always is of interest, to say the least.
Why are you voting for Paul McGeary?
I'm voting for Paul McGeary for mayor because he does his homework and he gets things done.
He's been my city councilor and is always helpful.
He fights for our schools.
Paul helps us support sobriety and combat substance abuse.
He listens.
He'll bring good jobs to Gloucester.
I trust Paul.
I'm Paul McGeary. I'm asking for your vote for mayor on November 3rd, and I approve this message.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan, and today I'd like to speak to you about the North Shore Student Athlete Program. Sponsored by Moynihan Lumber in conjunction with the Salem News, the Daily Item, the Newburyport Daily News, and the Gloucester Times. The program, now in its 24th year, celebrates high school students who excel not just on the playing field, but in the classroom as well. Male and female winners are chosen each month. All student athletes must be nominated by their coaches. Nominations for the program are made via email to nsstudentathlete@gmail.com. Youngsters who are nominated must have a B average or better. Monthly winners are then eligible to be selected as Student Athletes of the Year. Yearly winners and their families are recognized at a luncheon at the Salem Country Club held in early June. Please remember, all youngsters playing a varsity sport at any high school on the North Shore, public, private, or parochial, are eligible.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Okay, we're back, and we've been gone for a while, a couple of weeks anyway. Yep. And
I was literally gone, and you were gone.
I was gone, and we're back. Now, this week, we're going to try to get caught up with our football broadcast this week, and I think we're only going to have just the two on Friday night, as far as I can see. We will have Danvers at Peabody. Paul Ingram and I will do that one, and that's projected to be our video game. And then Marblehead at Lynn English also on Friday night. I think you and Tim and Bill will be doing
yes,
that.
Yes, I'll be there with William.
I don't think we'll be doing a Saturday game, so it'll just be a Friday this weekend. And then got to get our MIAA membership because a week from Friday, the playoffs begin.
Unbelievable.
Well, it kind of is, and
One of the kids from the Gloucester team I have in class saw him today. And I gave him a little buzz because he gained 179 yards, and I said, "What's wrong with you?" He said, "What do you mean?" I said, "179 yards? You couldn't get one more yard, make it 180?"
And I was like, pretty sure that was in the first half too.
Yeah, he said, "I only played the first
half."
Yeah. So?
Yeah, I think the offense they had scored something like 23 straight possessions, the first team offense, which is kind of weird.
Yeah, and then the next thing that this individual said, and I guess I can identify. So I gave away his stats. Christian Sanfilippo.
They call him Brucey.
Oh, wait till class tomorrow. Oh, okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm. I love ammunition. He said, "You know, well, I'm going to play Beverly again." I said, "Well, you know, depends what happens next week. Things may change a little bit." I said, "But yeah, you could end up playing him again. And wouldn't that be kind of interesting where Gloucester has been basically on a roll since the Beverly loss and righted the ship and riding the top of a wave? And since that time, Beverly has lost a couple of games, be them close games. I mean, you lose by two games by two touchdowns. And it could be a very interesting confrontation, if it is, in the playoffs between Beverly and Gloucester once again.
Well, Marblehead is leading the North. They are I'm trying to get this thing right this time. Marblehead is leading the North. And they have won the North, I believe, outright. Because even if they lose this weekend, then you know they own the tiebreakers. So Marblehead is the champs in the North, and I believe Gloucester is the champs in the South. But a lot of other schools still in the hunt for the playoffs, including Danvers, Beverly, Peabody, Revere, I think Winthrop, and even Salem. So you know it's wide open in that, what is it, Division 3A or something like that? Yeah. Division 3 something or other.
Sounds like a highway.
In the Cape Ann League, Pentucket has won their league. That would be the Cape Ann Large. They are 6-0 overall and running away with everything. North Reading is second. Masco has won only one game so far. Triton, Newburyport in that order. And then in the small, Linfield once again has captured the small. And they are at 4-0 in the league, 5-1 overall. But Ipswich and Manchester, Essex, Hamilton, Wenham all in the playoff hunt as well.
Yeah, and it's the craziest thing. It depends on who you've played throughout the season. You're getting points. It's like under the original Super Bowl system, getting points for playing up, down, and those teams who they play, you benefit from their wins. But I love looking at the points for and the guess as we get later in the season, Rick, because you really get an idea of just how good some of these offenses are. Marblehead has scored 184. They've given up 84. But you get down to Linfield, they've also scored 194 and only given up 35 points.
Yeah,
that is outstanding.
And they had something like six or seven shutouts last year, too.
Oh, my word. I mean, that's a team that you honestly believe is built on speed. They obviously have size that they can pound the ball in for those kind of points. But, boy, you only give up 35 points. You're getting to the ball quickly. You're getting to the point of attack. You're able to cover effectively in your secondary. And that just gives you so many more options as a coach, as a defensive coordinator, that you can really go out and scheme teams to death.
Okay, we need to take a break. We'll come back. We'll check in with Winthrop football coach Sean Driscoll and see how the Vikings are doing at this point. And then we'll take a look at the football schedule, what we have coming up this week as well. So we'll be back.
People come in, take a seat. You're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. Treat you right, day or night. Satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Sylvan Street Grill has a great new game time menu featuring delicious new dishes, specials, and all-time favorites, too.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Bradford Tavern, the Rowley Destination Restaurant, featuring many modern touches, nestled in a rustic setting, offering the finest steaks, seafood, and many quality daily specials. The Bradford Tavern is open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. to midnight, serving lunch and dinner. See you soon at the Bradford Tavern in Rowley, 89 Haverhill Street, Route 133. And check us out at bradfordtavern.com.
Hi, this is Jeff Klickstein, General Manager at Moore GMC in Danvers. Did you know that we're a family-owned and operated dealer that's been serving the North Shore since 1969? Our service department ranks as one of the best in customer satisfaction because we respect our customers' busy schedule and we do repairs as quickly as possible with the least amount of inconvenience to you. We are conveniently located off Route 128 at Exit 23, 80 High Street in Danvers. I personally invite all of you to come in, come visit us, see why our customers keep coming back for all their automotive needs.
Hello, sports fans. This is Wally, the voice of Honeydew Donuts. All right, you're getting ready to go to a game. I don't care if it's morning, afternoon, or night. Don't forget, stop into Honeydew Donuts and get yourself a cup of coffee. How about that large iced coffee? That Mocha Madness one is unbelievable. You'll think you went to Honeydew Heaven. So remember, you heard it here first on MSONewsSports.com. And remember the name, it's Honeydew Donuts, the only way to go.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. One of the ways to judge a company is in its staying power. At Moynihan Lumber, we've been doing our thing now for 55 years. Serving all of Greater Boston, Moynihan Lumber offers lumber and building materials, doors and windows, decking, kitchen cabinets, and Ace Hardware. Visit Moynihan Lumber at any of our three locations in North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Gloria Food Store is still Beverly's number one deli, and no matter what New England weather is thrown at us, Gloria is open. With fresh bread delivered from Sunray Bakery every morning, Gloria can provide party platters, calzones, hot trays, cold trays, salad trays, and finger sandwiches for whatever you have planned. Call in your order at 978-922-3613, stop in at 268 Rantoul Street, or visit GloriaFoodStore.com.
Okay, we're back now with Winthrop football coach Sean Driscoll. And, Coach, it's been a while since we've chatted with you, and a hell of a lot has gone on, but congratulations on getting the kids back out there and a big win over the weekend. How are you?
Yes, I'm doing okay. I'm doing all right. The kids are doing fine. I'll tell you, well, we've been working on trying to get better each week, and we struggled early in the year, as I'm sure you guys saw. I haven't talked to you, but you know, it started off 0-3. We were down some senior leaders early in the year. We got those back against Salem, and you can see a difference in our football team, which is a little bit of a step. And last week, you really saw our full football team versus August. And I got to tell you, Ray came out very gangbusters and recovered from, you know, for the most part, a six-day layoff of no football at all, which is a lot to be said for my team. As I told my team after the game, you had every excuse in the world to come out flat and not really be prepared. And I'll tell you what, you had a great week of practice coming back. So I'm proud of my kids for that.
You know, certainly, Sean, especially when you have a transition from a lot of veterans like you've had in the past couple of years, to where you've got to now really coach up a lot of the younger guys without having a whole lot of depth in the upper classes. You almost have to expect some lumps early on as the kids get used to being on the football field, under game conditions, playing in front of the crowd and getting used to that. And then as you said, improving every week, getting seeing the mistakes, correcting those mistakes, and then seeing the fruition of that hard work and practice beginning to pay off with a couple of really big wins.
Yeah, I will tell you that there's been so much teaching going on the field and off the field, in film sessions, things like that. And when you come in and losing 17 senior last year, and you have a great year, and you come in, you see you have some skill guys, you have some talent a little bit, but they just haven't got the time. And to see the difference in where we've come from week one, or let's say even preseason, to where we're at now, is a big difference in what we're doing. And I'm happy for those younger kids that are stepping up. We're playing a lot of sophomores and juniors that never really been in varsity time before, which is big. And like I said, our goal at the beginning of the year is get better each week, and we've done that so far.
You know, and certainly, Sean, as you see that progression of improvement during the season as the weeks grow on, that certainly serves as a building block, not only for the rest of the season, but looking into next year, because the kids begin to see a really bright light at the end of that tunnel. Man, we're sophomores. We still got two more years. Think how good we can be if we continue to get better now, how much we can bring to this team the next couple of years.
Right, and I think our kids, as far as our freshmen and sophomores, they see that a lot, because you know here at Winthrop, our freshmen are right in the mix. They practice at the varsity. There's no separate group at all, and I think they gain a lot from that. And our sophomore group, especially up front-wise, has really come a long way. And it's just basically getting the experience they're getting now and getting into one of the last games of our season, for the most part, regular season, until we get into the tourney week and see where we're at. I'm kind of happy, you know, where we're at now. Can we get better? Absolutely. And I honestly think I'm really looking for a strong finish for my team to kind of set that tone.
Coach, it's hard enough coaching kids under normal circumstances, and you know, they have distractions of all kinds in and out of the classroom and so on. This year you had a particularly big obstacle to overcome. And how do the kids handle that? How are you doing with that? And you talk about teaching. You're teaching all the time. What do you have to do to get through to some of the kids? Or maybe even it's the parents sometimes, and let the parents know how difficult things are.
I will tell you that very, very frustrating time here as a coach, as a teacher, as a leader in the community. In general, and going into the year, we always have our parent meeting with our players, and it's a mandatory thing, and we go over concerns that we have, and we go over, you know, different, I guess we use examples of what's happened in other places before, and basically, as I said to my parents, very simple, you know, if you have to think about it, and I tell my kids the same thing, if you have to think about it before you hit that button, it's probably wrong, and trying to educate them on that. We've always done a good job, and we did a good job with it this year here. But with a young team and that, and having new people around, you know, sometimes things are going to happen. I honestly believe that this was one obviously stupid act that should never have occurred, and unfortunately, we all had to suffer the punishment for that. But I do, like I said to the newspaper, I do commend my kids on doing the right thing, you know, and not letting it go any further than it did. Unfortunately, they didn't get what I thought they deserved, a little bit more praise for that. They didn't get that. But, you know, as I said, as we came back to practice on Monday morning during the holiday, we had a great week. We had a great Monday. We had a tremendous Tuesday. And we tried to get that out of it. And my biggest fear with this team was, like, you know, the letdown and not practicing, no contact, you know, not being together for that time was tough. And I was really impressed, and I was really happy with, obviously, the outcome of the game Friday and how we played. Especially defending a team like Saugus and what they give you, some problems and all the teaching that went into that and the Simon breakdowns on defense and making sure that stuff didn't happen. And I'm proud of my guys for that. And again, it was a tough week, and I gotta tell you, we were excited about going up there with our team up to Gloucester. We haven't been up there in years to play. I think 2007 when last time we went, I think the last time we played was, probably 09. And I was just, you know, it's a shame. And I tell you what, it would have been a big game in the league right now. You know, we haven't lost in the league yet except for the fourth at the Gloucester. And Gloucester's been having a great year. They've been running the table on people, and their offense has been looking like old Gloucester. But we would like to go up there and give it a shot with a young team playing in that atmosphere. You know, it's a great place to play. We'd like to see what happened, but obviously we didn't get that chance. We can't cry over that now. We just got to move on and try to do the best we can for Swampscott this Saturday.
Well, let me tell you, I was really looking forward to seeing you guys, too. But, you know, something like this, Coach, the violence of the sport, the contact, the shoulder, the physicality of the game and so on, tends to get kids to come together as a fraternity. You know, football players are a special breed as a team, and you feel that these kids are coming together chemistry-wise now as a team, that they are looking out for each other on the field and off the field?
Absolutely. It's always been a tradition here at our school. I mean, we've always had close-knit community in general for, you know, not only athletics but a lot of other things, and our kids have done that, and I think when you have a new team and you have new leadership and everything looks a little different, it takes a while to get going, and I honestly think our team is really, stepping forward here now and going through this tough times, and maybe in the wrong one, this would make us a little better. I think the teaching point of it is, the incident, how one person can do one stupid thing and it affects a lot of people, in which that did, and I think there's learning to be done everywhere, but at the same time, I also think it brought us together a little bit more, and I think that contributed to having the great week that we had last week, and hopefully that continues. Like, our goal is now is to, get better each week, which we have, and really I don't think we've put together our best football game yet this year, and I'm hoping that's coming soon.
Well, Coach, I had the chance to talk to Tony Zarelli and doing the Fisherman Forecast. The week that you guys was supposed to play, and he's really disappointed that you guys weren't going to get the opportunity to put it together on the field, because certainly he knows the history of the games between Gloucester and Winthrop and what it has meant, and both as a teaching tool for both coaches on the field in getting their teams better, aside from the incident, but the competition, the work on the field, getting the execution down on both sides. He really missed that opportunity as well, and I'm sure and the other coaches that have missed games this year. You look forward to those Friday night, those Saturday afternoon games. Once you're a season, you really do, and he said, I tried everything I could trying to get Kim's patience to somehow get that game to come off. So I know Tony was disappointed and did everything he did.
Yeah, and I talked with Tony, as soon as I got the word and what was going down, and I felt awful for the Gloucester kids and the Gloucester. Listen, football is a big thing up there, and it's great. And we don't get to go up there anymore like we used to for some reason. Now we're back in the same division and it's great. We always look forward to it. Even when our teams weren't great and Gloucester was great, we go up and we battle. It's always been a good rival.
Oh, yeah.
We always want to say the same type of kid in both communities. And, it was definitely disappointing, and I felt bad for Tony. I apologize, from behalf of my program, but some things get out of my control, and one of the things I just wish it never happened, and it never went down the way it went down, and it is what it is, and I feel bad because we were all looking forward to it. Like I said, I think for the most part, I know your local newspaper up there in Gloucester, I think they said they would have been just by four touchdowns or something, someone was telling me, but I don't know if that would have been the case. It is high school football. Again, it could have happened, don't get me wrong, but I honestly believe that we will at least be able to battle up there.
Coach, I always consider having to get out when I was coaching baseball, take the trip to Winthrop, because I went to East Boston for 4 years when I was going to Dom Savio. I always called it the road trip to hell.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was long, it was in traffic, you're sitting there, you're getting stiff, you come out, you got 10, 15 minutes to get up and get ready for the game, and I always knew from the time that I went to Dom Savio, and we were scrimmage Winthrop every year in basketball and in baseball, and I knew Henry Coffey. He got me a job at Winthrop High School.
Yeah.
when I was doing a couple of grad courses at Salem State way back when, and so I've always had this close connection to Winthrop, as I've told you numerous times, and I know you guys got to feel the same way. Gloucester, the other end of the conference.
Yeah.
It's a road trip to hell getting up to Cape Ann.
But it's worth, I tell you, if you're a high school football player, coach, fan, it's worth the trip up there, especially when it's a big game. It's just a different atmosphere, and we've always enjoyed going up there, and I'm just disappointed when we had circled on our schedule, we didn't get a chance to go up and show what we could do against them.
Well, there still may be the playoffs, Coach.
What's that?
There still may be the playoffs.
Well, yeah, that's the thing, but you know what, at this point now, every game, this week's a playoff game for everyone is trying to get in there and stuff, and we're just hoping to come out and play hard and let the cards fall where they fall, like I said, it would be nice for this team to get in there and possibly sneak in a lower seed, absolutely. But other than that, we won't really want to concentrate. And, you know, we're playing a Swampscott team that's a young team, too. And they had their setback just like we did. They have their first home game since all their issues happened. So it's going to be interesting, and I think it's going to be a really good game Saturday afternoon.
Well, I was going to ask you, Coach, you know, all the negative stuff is in the rearview mirror. It's long gone. It sounds great that you guys are doing so well, back on track. As I mentioned in the email, it's just great. I'm so happy, and I'm really pleased you took the time to talk with us tonight, Sean. But any final thoughts about the Swampscott team, the Swampscott game, or Winthrop in general?
Well, a couple of things. I was told a little while ago that it's actually the 100th game between Winthrop and Swampscott. I did not realize that. One of my local reporters here told me, still trying to find out if that is the fact, and if, I don't know why they would say it if it wasn't. So it makes for a big game. Plus, it's the end of our regular season, so to speak. We still have a league game on Thanksgiving with Revere. But I will tell you that, you know, Swampscott is always a great place to play. If you're going to play a Saturday afternoon game, that's where you want to play. It's a good atmosphere, and I'm sure they're going to be get up ready to go, and I'm sure that there will be the wisecracks out there, a forfeit bowl or whatever. It'll be something like that, you know, and that's okay. You know, it goes with the territory, but I'll tell you what. Coach over there, Coach Marino, he's going to have those guys ready. He's doing everything he can to get better each week, just like we're doing here. And it should be a fun game. It should be a good game. You know what they do offensively. They can hit a big play on you in a second, and we're a little bit different and kind of grind them out style, you know. We're looking forward to getting back on our feet and going up there and giving it a try and put all the negative stuff behind.
Sean, I got to tell you one thing. I got to tell you this quick story. Talk about the negative stuff. We had a pregnancy pack, so-called, a few
weeks. I remember that.
Okay.
All over the place.
I was in Florida at Disney World after that wearing a Gloucester High School staff jacket, and somebody from somewhere across the country said, oh, look, there's a guy from that place where they have all the pregnancies.
Yeah.
So it's like...
It's just how it travels. And I got some calls from people I didn't even know, people in the coaching business, you know, and like I said, I was kind of shocked when I came downstairs on a Wednesday morning and seen news cameras outside my house. I thought something really happened to someone in my family or whatever. I didn't get it. And then when I got to work, I finally got it. So definitely strange, and nothing I ever want to go through again. I don't want to see any football program go through it, because when you're working at something, you work hard, and you have 100 years of history of football here in general, and a lot of our players realize that they, you know, owe it to those guys that were here before to work hard and represent the school and the team and the community well. And unfortunately, they got a bad impression of us, but I will tell you that I got great kids that are working hard. I have a young team, and I have two really good senior captains, and I'm proud of them for doing the right thing and standing up and coming forward with stuff. But like I said, you know, this day and age with media and internet and all the stuff, every little bit of news breaks out, and sometimes it kind of snowballs into something bigger than what it is, and I think that's what happens in a lot of cases, especially like this.
Well, Coach, we always appreciate your talking to us. We always love talking about Winthrop and the competition and covering the games as well. So thanks so much, Sean. Best of luck this weekend. We'll talk to you again down the road.
Great. Thanks a lot, guys. Nice talking to you.
Thanks, Coach.
Thanks, Coach.
Bye-bye.
You know, it's weird, but just thinking about what he said, you know, you don't want it to happen to any kids, any football team, anywhere, and that's true. But when it does happen, when there's a teachable moment like what happened in Winthrop,
or Swampscott.
Or Swampscott. You feel better when it's handled, you know, by someone who has the experience, who has the understanding, who has the intelligence, the compassion, the discipline, and so on that a Sean Driscoll has.
Yeah, certainly. And, you know, long years of coaching and dealing with kids and having a family. You know, and again, being from a small town and talk about the town rallying together and his other captains rallying the team to move beyond the incident, that, you know, you are something more defines you than that incident. You can't let that incident define who we are, because, like you said, there's 100 years of football history behind Winthrop. Some great players, some great games, some great accomplishments. And you can't let this little stain, you know, turn aside all those things. And you have to constantly remind the kids of due diligence of, you know, the decisions you make because of social media today can have, you know, devastating impacts, not only for yourself, but for those around you. And unfortunately, that was a lesson that a couple of local teams, Swampskin and the Winthrop, learned, you know, in successive weeks, that there are major consequences to be had if you misuse the social media. You may think it's funny. You may think it's a joke. But, like, you know, there are posters in school. You know, you have two choices to make before you hit the button. Think about the choices. Think about the ramifications. And I'm sure not only the kids in those towns, but the kids in the other Northeast Conference teams and teams throughout the area whose coaches sat them down and said, listen, you have to be more responsible. It's part of, you know, this new media. There's a heightened degree of responsibility. And hopefully these kids will have gotten that message.
All right, let's take a break, see if we can come back and talk with Salem News. If not, we got a few things we can discuss. We'll be right back.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan, and today I'd like to speak to you about the North Shore Student Athlete Program, sponsored by Moynihan Lumber, in conjunction with the Salem News, the Daily Item, the Newburyport Daily News, and the Gloucester Times. The program, now in its 24th year, celebrates high school students who excel on the playing field as well as the classroom. Male and female winners are chosen each month. Student athletes who have a B or better average are nominated by their coaches. And nominations are made via email to nsstudentathlete@gmail.com.
Hi, this is Jeff Klickstein, General Manager at Moore GMC in Danvers. Did you know that we're a family-owned and operated dealer that's been serving the North Shore since 1969? Our service department ranks as one of the best in customer satisfaction because we respect our customers' busy schedule and we do repairs as quickly as possible with the least amount of inconvenience to you. We are conveniently located off Route 128 at Exit 23, 80 High Street in Danvers. I personally invite all of you to come in, come visit us, see why our customers keep coming back for all their automotive needs.
Everybody's too busy. You know, you were just getting here when I went on live and mentioned that, Gloucester Daily Times sports editor, Nick Kukuru, and his lovely bride, Marissa, had their second child last week. They had a baby boy, their first boy.
Oh, excellent.
And so Nick is off for some time to stay home with the family. And,
okay, because we both had, I had Nick in class.
I
had Marissa in class, and Nick also played baseball.
I didn't have Marissa. Marissa was a babysitter for my younger daughter, and lives right across the street, as a matter of fact. In fact, both of her sisters were also babysitters for Caitlin a long time ago. But it's
and now I had Nick in class. I had Nick as a baseball player, and now I have your charming daughter in class.
That's right. Oh, boy.
Full circle.
Oh, yeah. All right. Okay, let's get down to business here. A couple of things to talk about, I think, on the local level. It is. We'll have a lot to talk about next week, of course. It is playoff time. But, again, this week we are going to be broadcasting on Friday night. It will be Danvers at Peabody. That will be our live streaming video. Marblehead at Lynn English will be over on Channel B. And then the following week we'll have a TBA. We figure out what the playoffs are for the next 3 weeks. Then it's Thanksgiving. And, Coach, this season's just flying along.
Buzzing right along. You know, unfortunately, I've been away the last couple of weeks with, you know, one unplanned and then a planned mini vacations of sort. But I have listened to the broadcasts. I have watched the broadcast, which is, again, for those who haven't done it yet.
Isn't that cool?
Even if it's not your team, you need to go on
I watched
to the
them down in Florida.
Live stream and video. It is Even on my iPhone, it is so crystal clear. And I show my buddies. I said, look, this is the game. This is going on right now. And it's like watching HGTV. The quality is so clear. And so if you haven't checked out the live streaming video, you need to do so. And if you're out shopping, you need to stop by the Sylvan Street Grill.
On Friday night or Saturday.
In their lounge area. They have dedicated one of their TVs to the live streaming video of MSO. And this week, again, you're going to be able to see Peabody Danvis, which is right in their neighborhood. They're stuck right in the middle of it. And so I'm sure there's going to be a lot of interested viewers watching that particular game, listening to you and Paul Ingram. So you best tell Paul to be on his best behavior.
Paul's always on his best behavior. He's unbelievable.
That's true. I've never known
him. It's disgusting.
It really is.
It's disgusting.
It really
45 years and a guy is just like right down the middle of the road.
He's still waiting
arrow.
To say his first swear.
Oh,
you know?
Man.
God knows I tried to encourage him over the years, teaching across the hall.
You've almost sent him over the edge, I must say. You've tested his stamina. Well, you know, changing gears. Major League Baseball playoffs. Of interest at all, I was pulling for the Cubs. Obviously, pulling for the Cubs, who wouldn't be after what we went through with the Red Sox, but there just isn't, nothing grabs me.
Who wouldn't be rooting for the Cubs after it was made known that in Back to the Future, this was the year that the Cubs were supposed to win the World Series, and would not have been the major Cubs. Now, they still can come back and win the series. They've got to pull an 0-4 Red Sox and basically win out the series. Especially if they fall again, but what a great show. It was good to see Houston. It was good to see the Cubs get back into the playoffs. I mean the Mets back in. It was nice to see a few different teams get in.
You know what?
And you're looking at the success that they had during the course of the season.
I haven't heard any Theo Epstein bashing lately on local talk radio.
Can you really bash him?
He did when he was with the Red Sox, and when he left the Red Sox.
That's all sour grapes.
No, but that's what I'm talking about.
You know.
He made that bad decision, and we did it, and then he goes over and he starts winning in Chicago.
But they suffered through the first couple of years were not good for Theo, and everybody was like, oh, here's the same Theo that was in Boston. Well, you know what? Sometimes you have to take lumps. And you have to play the younger guys to get them experience so that they not only do they learn how to lose, they learn how to win. And they get the major league experience. And then it all begins to click. And you don't give up on guys. You stick with them. You don't bury them in the minor leagues. You don't trade them away for has-been guys who you have to overpay to get them there. And then you're stuck with these long, inflated contracts that you can't get rid of. And that's why Ben Charrington isn't there now, because he did those kind of things. And with a lot of negative results the last couple of years. Theo's a good baseball man. He proved it in Boston. I mean, he was lucky that he inherited a lot of Dan Duquette ball players. And for a lot of people, they forget that Dan Duquette put most of those ball players on that 0-4 team on the field. They were Duquette players, but Theo also added to it that the Red Sox were able to, again, maintain a high level of competitiveness. Do you always win? No. But the Patriots haven't won every single World Series, every single Super Bowl. But they have been competitive. They put themselves in a position to have an opportunity to get to the dance, to get that, to grab the golden ring, and that's what you want. You want your team to have a chance. Is there going to be times when it's just not your year? That fluky things happen. A team gets hot just when you're going to meet them. Yeah, it happens. You make a couple mistakes that you haven't made during the course of the season, and they cost you. You don't execute a couple of plays. You don't get the pitching that you've used to have. All these things are all part of baseball. It's all part of life that things don't always go the way you want them. But if you give yourself the best opportunity and to put yourself in the best position to play in those games, that's what you want. Because at 2004, should they have won the World Series? No. But things just happened to work out. 2013, were they the best team? Not by a long shot. But the guys that they picked up, as I said this before, had career years, mediocre, middle-of-the-road average everyday ball players had career years. The guys that they put on the bench had career years. They got up, they contributed in big clutch situations. They might not have hit for average, but the hits they got meant something. No, look, that's what it takes to win.
Look back at that down to the Yankees 0-3
yeah.
with 100 years of futility for the Red Sox. Yeah. And, man, Hollywood couldn't have written that story.
No, you could not have. You know,
Dave Roberts is a hero.
You know, then the guy was basically, you know, he was a shadow of his former self, but he had one stolen base left. One stolen base left in those old legs, and he steals
it. Joe Hardy.
In the most critical situation, he steals the base, and he scores on the base hit. He ties the game up, and they go on to win it. I mean, you can't be serious. Like you said, you couldn't have written that. You know, Millar and the name of the, you know, giving the name to the team, and we're drinking whiskey before the game. We don't care. We're going to go out there. We, you know, they were bearded. They were long-haired. They didn't. They challenged the conformity
right,
of other
right.
teams.
Okay. Well, is there a favorite in this year's playoffs who are left in the playoffs? I mean, who do you look at?
No, you look at the Mets, they're up 2-0. The Royals are up 2-0. They've got momentum. You know, can they sustain it? You know, can the Dodgers can the Cubbies and the
who's left? Rangers?
Not the Rangers. Toronto.
I don't even know. Oh, the Blue Jays, yeah.
Toronto's going home. They're saying, you know, can Toronto find their home run swing and start bashing the ball out of the ballpark? Distinct possibility. You know?
Hey, what about the flip? Did you like the flip? Bautista?
Who cares? They all do it now.
But, you know, exactly. This is the 21st century. Can you put it on, what do they call that? Trending?
And yeah, can trending you,
now. No, and the video, what do they call that? Where it goes viral video.
Yeah.
So let's flip the. I mean, this is entertainment. That's what they want.
David Ortiz cracks a home run. He doesn't necessarily fill the bat of the ear, but he takes the bat and he puts it on the top of the barrel and he flips it down.
And he admires it.
And he looks at it. You know what I mean? Everybody's got this little thing. I mean, that was a dramatic clutch home run. So he flips the bat. You know, you got guys in football doing flips in the end zone. How about if you just flipped in the batter's box? Would that have made everybody
Ozzie Smith
less happy?
Ozzie
yeah, but
Smith?
Ozzie did it running out to the position at the beginning of an inning.
All right, we'll see you Friday night. We've got football Friday night. A couple of games, as we've mentioned all along. It will be the video game will feature Danvers at Peabody on Channel A also, and Marblehead English on Channel B. Trending Now with Josh Charnel on Friday at 10 a.m. Thanks for joining us. Bye-bye.
This is MSO Web Radio at morestuffonline.com.